Those are beautiful songs we just sang. And the last one, we're marching to Zion. That's one I remember singing so many times over the years. And I think sometimes we don't sing enough songs about heaven and going there. And we need to keep in mind that's what we are striving to do each day. We're marching on, getting closer and closer to what our Heavenly Father has prepared for us. Galatians 6:7, do not be mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. As I mentioned this morning, I want us to look at this phrase, God is not mocked, and we're going to look at Samson as our object lesson for God not being mocked. The entire story of Samson is about a man that made a vow and he broke his vow. He broke it. And as we go through the story, as we've looked at it before, we think, well, why would he do that? How could he do that? But instead of focusing on him, and this is the end of the lesson now, I'll tell you so you don't miss it, we'll go over it again. But the end of the lesson is not how could he miss it, but how do we miss it? How do we miss it? God is not mocked. Samson was from the tribe of Dan, and we're going to take our text this evening from Judges chapters 13 through 16, if you want to be turning to those. Samson was from the tribe of Dan. His father was Manoah. His mother's name is not mentioned. Samson was the last judge mentioned before the transition to Eli and Samuel. Samson is a one-man army against the Philistines. When we look at the area that we're talking about, and again, just to help us tie in with our Wednesday evening study on Bible history and geography, we see in the last chapter of 13, located Samson between Zorah and Eshtaol on the eastern end of the Zorek Valley. Timnah is located on the west. These were two of the cities marked with yellow circles. Ekron and Gath are two of the five cities of the Philistine Pentapolis. Timnah was likely a satellite village of Ekron. So again, Samson's story revolves a lot around the Philistines, and this is the area where we are looking at. Now, Samson was a Nazarite, and in Judges 13 and verse 5, for behold, ye shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So what is a Nazarite? If we go back to Numbers chapter 6, we get a bigger picture of what a Nazarite is. In Numbers chapter 6 and verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when either a man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord. And we see how this ties in with the concept of holiness we talked about this morning, being separate, set apart, devoted for a certain purpose. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled, in the which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. And the days that he separates himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. So we see several parameters that a person had to obey, man or woman, to be a Nazarite. It was a vow they took, and they were set aside for a special purpose. Samson was brought up in what we would consider a good home. His parents were dedicated to God. They were people of prayer. And in chapter 13, looking at verse 8, then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of the God came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field, but Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Then the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me. So Manoah arose and followed his wife. When he came to the man, he said to him, Are you the man who spoke to this woman? He said, I am. Manoah said, Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? So the angel of the Lord spoke to Manoah, Of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor drink. She shall drink wine, not drink wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. So we see the parents' interaction with this man of God. They wanted to know, what should they do? How should they raise this child? Please let the man of God whom you sent teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. These were God-fearing parents. Samson was raised in a God-fearing house. But like so many people raised in a God-fearing home, what happens? They go astray. They don't listen to their parents. They go off on their own and follow their own desires. So their parents, his parents, prayed that they would be taught how to raise this child. And I'm sure they were. But what did Samson do? He refused the wise counsel of his parents. When we go to chapter 14, we see one of the things. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and mother said to him, Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said to his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. And we see Samson's just this rebellious attitude. He shouldn't have even been around the Philistines, but we know that God was going to use him as an instrument to bring judgment on the Philistines. But they were not to associate again with the people of that land. They had disobeyed God and not utterly destroying them. So Samson goes down where he shouldn't have gone. He sees a woman, and what does he say? Father, get her for me. I see her. I like what I see. I want her. And his father, aren't there any women around here that you like? No, I want her. I want her. Samson refused the wise counsel of his parents. And when we refuse the counsel of our parents, the wise counsel, not only are we disobeying our parents, we're disobeying God. Proverbs 13 and verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to a rebuke. In Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instructions, but he who receives a correction is prudent. The best place to learn wisdom is from our parents, not from someone out in the world. Even if someone in the world may have some advice that's good, they aren't going to care for us like our parents. And we need to not refuse the counsel of parents. We need, as there are children that come into a family, to teach them, again, honor your father and your mother, honor God. We need to teach our grandchildren this, because if they don't listen to us and they go out to the world, God is not mocked. They're going to reap what has been sown. So he starts off, and again, like so many sins, I see, I want. He refused the counsel of his parents. Then we see that he chose evil associations. He chose a Philistine for a wife. Later he went to a harlot at Gaza, then to Delilah. He's not making good choices. He's not making good choices, and these are going to bring many things into his life. In chapter 16, verse 1, now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told that Samson had come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning when it is day, we will kill him. And Samson lay low till midnight, then arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. This is one of the stories of his power that he had. But we see so many things revolving around this, and it all goes back to choosing evil associations. We're going to see later at the end of the lesson that slide that I had this morning with that little evil habit, that little evil habit that doesn't look too dangerous, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And friends, it's a sad day when God's people think that they need to spend more time with people of the world than people of God's family. This is such a blessing that we have to come together on Sunday evening and be with other Christians, to exhort one another, encourage one another, to build each other up. When we visited at the small congregation last Sunday evening, they were so happy. We built them up. They built us up, because it's good seeing God's people trying to live faithful lives in a wicked world. But what do some Christians do? They'd rather go out and spend their time somewhere else doing something else. And I'm not saying they're evil for doing that, but I'm saying, where is our heart? Where is our desire? We sing we're marching to Zion, but I want to go to the ball game tonight. I want to go here. I want to go there. Are those places taking us closer to heaven? 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Corrupts. Again, that word we looked at this morning, abomination. It defiles. It defiles us. Evil company corrupts good habits. But what do we think? It's not going to corrupt me. Maybe somebody else, but it's not going to corrupt me. I can run with these people and do this or that, and I'm strong enough. It's not going to hurt me. Friends, when we are exposed to something like that, it affects us. Proverbs 4:14, do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. And we need to remember, it's better to be alone by ourselves than in the company of evil people. And some people have a need for other people more than others. But keep in mind, it's always better to be alone by yourself than in the company of evil people. And so many times we'll see somebody say, well, I can go here or there. I'm going to have a good influence on those people. And what usually happens? The evil people have the influence on the good person, and they lead them down the path with them. Proverbs 4:14, do not enter the path of the wicked, do not walk in the way of evil. You know, we're going to be judged by the company that we keep. People of the world are judging us. God is going to judge us because it affects our life. And we need to make friends with members of the church, people with high moral standards, and not just one or two Christians. We need to make friends with as many Christians as we can. God is not mocked. And these laws are irrefutable, unchangeable, for good and for bad. God's law of sowing and reaping. If we form the wrong associations with people of the world, there's the possibility that it can destroy us spiritually. So we need to be careful, and we can't live in this world without associating with other people. But we have to be careful. We have to keep our eyes open, keep our guard up, and follow God's word. Something else that Samson did, he gave in. He gave in over and over. His parents advised him against marrying the woman from Timnah. He gave in to the Philistine, crying and told her to answer his riddle. Later, he gave in to Delilah. He told her where his strength lay. So Samson, that was raised as a Nazirite, that made a vow what he was going to do. He was going to separate himself, and they were separated to serve the Lord. Another Nazirite that would come to mind would be John the Baptist. You just compare Samson and John the Baptist, separated, set apart for a certain life, and how different they were. You compare Samson with some of the other people in the Old Testament. You compare Samson with Daniel. Daniel refused the king's edict. Samson wanted to give in to anything. You compare Samson with the three Hebrew children cast into the fiery furnace. Samson would go along with things. You compare Samson with Joseph. Joseph did not yield to the advances of Potiphar's wife. Friends, we need today to realize we shouldn't give in. We need courage to say no. And you think about Joseph. And Joseph, Potiphar's wife would have been, she tried to seduce him over and over. It says, day after day after day. But Joseph didn't give in. Samson, he saw something and wanted it and didn't even stop, like it wasn't even a struggle. We need to stand up for our principles. And that's something that's going away with people today. Principles and convictions. A lot of times people, what determines some people's principles and convictions? It's wherever they get the most money. This company is offering me this job, and they're going to pay me this much they want me to do this, this, and this. This company's not going to pay me as much, but I can serve God. I can live a good Christian life. And, well, I think I'll go with this one. And we give in. We give in. We need convictions. Friends, the world respects convictions. And that's why you see some people in the public stage, when they stand up and say no, people applaud that person because they don't want somebody to just go along with everything because they're going to just get swept right down the river with everything else. Samson gave in. A lot of times, he wasn't under pressure to sin, but he put himself in a position where he would be exposed to that temptation, and instead of fighting it, he just gave in. Is anybody here under pressure to sin? We all are. We all are. Tomorrow, we're going to come in contact with people that might want to put pressure on us to sin. We're going to come in contact with family members that want to put pressure on us to sin. Well, why are you going to church on Sunday? There's other things you can do. Why do you always do this? Why do you always do that? They want to put pressure on us. Strangers will put pressure on us to sin. People that we don't even know. So many times you go and you get involved in a business transaction and they'll have a contract here. Now it says this here, but we'll just change this, or we'll do this and we'll change this number, or we'll leave it at this, but we'll do this, and then we won't have to do this or that. They want us to compromise. To compromise. Friends, when people want us to compromise, we need to learn to stand up and not give in. God is not mocked. Something we have mentioned, Samson committed fornication. Back in 16:1, Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. So Samson violated one of the Ten Commandments. People are still violating this law today. I remember hearing, and I was probably a teenager, and when you're young and different things leave an impression, but this person was speaking about what it was like during the first century and like in Corinth. And the preacher made the point back then that committing fornication was just as common as having a drink of water. Everybody did it. People didn't think a thing about it. And that was the immorality of the first century. But here we're going back to the Old Testament. God's people, God's holy, separate, set apart people. Yet Samson committed fornication. Now, that was wrong because of the Ten Commandments. But you think about Joseph. Joseph knew it was wrong. Did Joseph know it was wrong because of the Ten Commandments? No, Ten Commandments hadn't been given at that time. Did Joseph know that it was wrong because of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said not to look at a woman? No, Jesus hadn't come on the scene and preached that sermon. How did Joseph know? Because the marriage law goes all the way back to the beginning. It goes all the way back to the garden. It's not a function of the church, it's a function of the home. And God's law was from the beginning. And Jesus says, whosoever. And when Jesus said, whosoever puts away his wife, that whosoever, that's universal. It applies to everybody. Some people, and again, Samson, we would say he led a very loose lifestyle. sleeping with different women. And he was a Nazarite, set apart, separated for a purpose to serve God. A lot of people still want to make some excuse for fornication today and not take the words of Jesus, saying that that was before the cross. But the marriage law goes all the way back to the beginning. And then you take that point and look at some other things too. And people will say, well, is it wrong for a Christian to do this? Is it wrong for a Christian to do that? And friends, whenever someone asks, is it wrong for a Christian to do fill in the blank, there's a problem. Because there is not one law for the Christian and one law for everybody else. There's just one law. God has one law. We either obey it or we disobey it. And I saw somebody posted something the other day, and I forget what the topic was, but it involved some church and some subject, and is it wrong for a Christian to do this? And I think, why do people fall into that trap? Well, Satan works on people, but friends, right is right and wrong is wrong. God is not mocked. If we do something that is wrong and we think it's okay, we are going to pay the consequences. So many people are caught up in the sin of fornication, and that's a general term for all kinds of sexual sins. Many Christians become unfaithful because of this. And sometimes it appears that Satan has already won the battle. And people, again, they don't think a thing about it today. But Samson, this is one of the sins that it says that he committed. It was a big thing back then. It's a big thing today. And God is not mocked. Samson violated God's law. We cannot violate God's law and live wrong and die right. We also see that Samson surrendered his source of strength. In Judges 16:17, that he told her all of his heart and said to her, "No razor has come upon my head. For I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Friends, Samson had physical strength. Many of us had physical strength. And then the older we get, the less strength, less physical strength we have. But friends, the older we get, and God wants us to have spiritual strength, and the older we get, we can lose our physical strength, but we must get stronger spiritually. Paul, writing in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." How do we weaken ourselves and not be strong? We weaken ourselves by getting involved, entangled in the things of the world. We weaken ourselves by getting involved in sin. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, Samson became disloyal to his vow. He touched the dead carcass of the lion. He touched the jawbone of the donkey. It's implied that he participated in the drinking party. He allowed his hair to be cut off. And friends, we have made a vow to God. We made the great confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We say that. We make that confession before others, and then what do? We turn around, we see something, I want this, I'm going to take that. Somebody says no, and then we cry like Samson and say, but Daddy, I want that. Give it to me. We say that Jesus is our Lord, and then what do we do? Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Lord. You're my Master. But I don't have time to read your Bible. I don't have time to talk to you in prayer. I don't have time to do the things I ought to do with other Christians. But you're my Lord. Friends, God is not mocked. We have made a vow to God. We made the great confession when we turn and violate our vows. We say that Jesus is our Lord and then do what we want. We live for ourselves. We neglect reading our Bible. We neglect sharing God's word with others. Well, what were some of the consequences of his sins? Again, where we started in Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will out of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will out of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Well, his sin cost him his strength. He lost his physical strength as he was going through things. When we sin, we lose our spiritual strength. And again, we need to be strong in the Lord. What did his sin do? It blinded him. It not only blinded him spiritually, it also blinded him physically. In Judges 16:21, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. And sin has that blinding effect on us. But here it's gone so far that they put his eyes out, then they make him do labor and use him for sport. Sin will blind us too, not just Samson. Sin will blind us. In Revelation 3:17, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. See, we become blind at what we look like. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Friends, when we become involved in sin, we become blind, and we need to open our eyes. We see that Samson's sin cost him his freedom. We see that carried out basically again where he becomes a slave doing labor. Jesus tells us in John 8:34, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And you hear people involved in different things, different habits. I can stop this anytime. I can stop this anytime. Well, why don't you stop it right now? Why don't you just stop it right now? Because sin has a way. Sin makes us a slave of sin. And we have to put it off. What did sin do? Sin cost him his self-respect. He went from these feats of greatness to being used for sport. And people looked on him differently. And when we sin, people will look on us differently, but we also look on ourselves differently. When I was baptized, we all tell ourselves this. When I was baptized, I had the best intentions. I had the best intentions. I wasn't going to do anything wrong. and then this little sin sneaks in, and then another one, and another one. And then we start losing respect for ourselves, and we got to be really careful then, because when we get to that point, we either have to say, no more, Satan, or else Satan is going to get the upper hand on us. Finally, sin cost him his life. It cost him his life. God is not mocked. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's quite a list, and all of those things are common in the world, and they are unrighteous. Again, those things would be an abomination to God. But what does Paul go on to say? And such were some of you. That's what you used to be. But you aren't that way now. You aren't that way now. You made a choice. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. You were separated. You were set apart from those things. You were made holy. Start living a holy life. That's in your past. And don't look back. No matter if you did every one of these things. You were a fornicator, an idolater, an adulterer, a homosexual, a sodomite. If you were all of those and you obeyed Christ, that's in your past. Look forward. We're marching on to Zion. And Satan wants us to look back. God is not mocked. These things that we do, these are laws, just as much of a law like gravity. I throw this up, you don't have to wonder what's going to happen. The law of gravity is going to bring it back down. God is not mocked. We can't fool God. We need to be careful. And if Samson knew what his end would be like, do you think that he would have done the things that he did along the way? Daddy, get me this woman. I want this. I want to do that. Breaking all the vows of a Nazarite. But we can say, how could Samson be so foolish? But again, the lessons, he's just an example. The lesson's not about him. The lesson's about me. And the lessons about you. How can we be so foolish? How can we be so foolish? Friends, we need to spend much time in God's Word. Acts 17:11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We need to spend time in the Word, accept it, make application to our life, and when our life doesn't match up with the Word, we need to change so that our life and the Word go hand in hand. Just like we talked about this morning, the clean and the unclean animals revolved around their mouth and their foot, the Word and our walk. Our Word and our walk must match what God's Word says. Friends, if there's anyone here this evening that needs prayers, needs to respond to the gospel in some way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.